Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekly discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Well, welcome to Business Resolutions. My guest today is Reynaldo Royo. Reynaldo, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
I have, as a change of pace, this is a live program on Monday. Of course, then it's retransmitted on Friday and Saturday, as you all know. And I have with me Reynaldo, who I've known for a long time, 1 week.
That's right.
1 week, to be clear. He was a speaker at the San Juan Rotary last Tuesday. So it's not even a week. It's actually 6 days. So we're going to be technical about it. And his talk was his role as an arbitrator. And I found it really fascinating. Couple of things. First of all, his changes in career, and sort of like me, moved to a completely new career, and it happened to be, of course, my new career, which is the prevention and resolution of conflicts. But he's taken one particular area, which we'll discuss. And the other aspects, he's also got involved over his career in the music industry, the radio industry, which we'll discuss. And then he's had some interesting experiences transitioning, which, as my listeners know, is one of my favorite topics, transitioning from one area to another as he moved on in his long and very successful career. I think let's start off with a maybe a little bit of a curveball for you. But when you look back over your career, what would you say was the most difficult period of your life? And it could be either from a personal or from a business point of view. When you look back, what would you say was the most difficult period?
My first two or three jobs, they were good. They were good paying jobs. I liked them, but I had three very difficult bosses in each one of them. You know, I was for a time I thought, boy, are they all going to be like this? Fortunately, after that, I had some very good people over me. But the first three were very, very strict and very, very difficult.
And what they were similarly difficult or very, very different in terms of being difficult?
No, they were different. They were just difficult. One was a Puerto Rican. One was from the States. The third one was local also. But let me give you an example. I used to work for WKYN, which was the English language radio station. Was the also back in 1964, way back there, 64, 65. And the owner who
and
was...
In fact, Troy Fields was there at that time.
Yeah, huh? Troy Fields worked with us. Uh-huh. And the owner had some very strict rules. If you do not follow those rules, he will fire you. No hesitation.
Right.
One of the rules was, I was a salesperson. You can only take a client to where we have a trade out, a barter agreement, a place called Mario's, and you can only have one drink per person. If you have more than one drink, don't bother to come to file in an expense report because you're no longer with us.
You're going to be fired.
Right. And I would always abide by these things. Of course, I got a huge, and I mean a huge advertising contract. Remember, this was in 1964. I got an $18,000 contract, which was equivalent to an $80,000 contract from India Beer. The station was an upscale station. India was not, so this was great. We were, you know, penetrating down. And the guy who gave me the contract says, okay, now I'm going to have lunch with you. I'm starting my vacation. And I'm going to ask my wife to call pick me up at 4 o'clock because I want to have a long talk with you. A long talk meant having a lot of drinks. So he had his first drink, and when he called for the second drink, I said, look, hold a second. You know the rules. And he says, no, I know the rules, but I'm going to tell you my rules. If I don't have three or four drinks, you're not going to get the $18,000 contract. So I said, well, go ahead, have a second drink. By the time he had his third drink, I figure I might as well have another drink myself, you know. I'll see what we can do about this. So at the end of the afternoon, close to 4 o'clock, he had a huge steak, and he had his wife pick him up. So I had six Scotch whiskeys, and I had four vodkas. So I say, oh boy, I'm gonna be fired 10 times, you know, one for each extra drink. So I tell the waiter, come here. The tip we gave in cash, and I told the waiter, look, whiskeys are soups, and vodkas are salads. So he made out the check. Salad, soup, salad, soup, salad, soup, salad, soup, salad, soup. And I filed in my expense report, and I went home, and we got the contract. So 2 weeks after that, the boss, the owner, says, Reynaldo, he used to talk, come into my office. We got some serious.
Is that really hands-on, very
yes,
very
yeah, we got to discuss this.
Yes, yes.
He would check every item,
yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he looks, he had that lunch report, and he says, were you having lunch with a goat? I said, what?
This is a Spanish. He said, un chivo, ¿no?
Un chivo, sí,
which even has a nicer connotation.
Yes, yes, yes. Un chivo, like a while ago. Estaba almorzando con un chivo. And I said, no, Don Alfredo, he's a vegetarian. And he said, he is? How come he ate the biggest steak of the house, the most expensive steak they had in that restaurant? And I said, look, that's right. But
you had to, I think you told me, you had to eat at one particular restaurant.
Yeah,
you couldn't choose.
That
one
place.
Restaurant that was a trade out, so, you know.
Where they had that trade out.
He knew that menu up and down.
And the tip was 10%. Anything above that you pay out of your own pocket.
Right.
He would reimburse you 10%. So when he told me, look, this vegetarian friend of yours, he ate the most expensive steak in the house. And I said, yes, not only did he do that, before he did that, he gave us, you and me and the company, an $18,000 contract, which we don't get every day, every week, or every month. How about that? And he looked at me and he said, you know what I like about you? He says, you're very creative.
So, I tell you, and I don't know if you want to mention the name because...
I don't mind. He's no longer with us. It's Don Alfredo Ramirez de Arellano. He was a millionaire from Mayagüez.
Yeah, he's a great, you know, very, very well known and very involved in so many things. In terms of, you know, with your experience in radio and just with the story with advertising and incidentally, let me say I'm with Reynaldo Arroyo, whose career now is an arbitrator, but a long career in the radio industry. Ray, in terms of the listeners that might be considering or involved in the promotion of their businesses in the using the radio, what would you tell them as advice? As you know, where is the radio good for, and what are the pros and cons, and how should they address radio advertising versus other advertising?
Well, basically, you know, radio has had and always will have its advantages against television and newspaper and vice versa. In TV, you have the film, you watch, it's video, it's live, you see it. Radio can be more immediate. Radio, you can listen to it as you're driving, which you cannot do with a TV, or you should not do. Some cars have a TV in the back.
At least not the driver.
And the other thing, radio leaves a lot to the mind. You can create in your advertising campaign. The one common error that I saw many times was to take a television advertising campaign and try to translate it exactly. Just take out the video part and have the audio. It doesn't always work out because when the creative people in television know that they have the video there. So if you just take that part away, it may sound boring or dull. So you have to have creativity for radio, which leaves a lot for your mind, you know, to you imagine the voices and everything.
Right, right. In the career that you've now chosen, of course, which is arbitration, and that was what your talk at the Rotary Luncheon was on, how did you move from what you were doing at the time, and you were at that time, I think, consulting and still involved in doing things in the radio, how did you make the move to being an arbitrator? Just give us a little background on your arbitration and how you moved to that completely new career.
Okay, well, I was in broadcasting in radio, which was around 40 years. That was my main career.
Right.
some 25 years back, I was in New York skiing with a friend of mine, and he was by family related to a person who was an executive, a big executive at the New York Stock Exchange. And we were having drinks with this lady. We were having dinner. And she said, you know what? This must have been 25, 30 years ago. We are beginning to have claims in Puerto Rico, claims at the from the New York Stock, from clients against their brokerage houses. And we do not have arbitrators. We have to send arbitrators. And it'd be nice, we work in panels of three. It'd be nice if we had at least one local arbitrator as part of the group. Can you recommend some people? And I was sitting there listening, and we got involved in what an arbitrator does. And I said, look, I have a full-time job, but on a part-time basis, I wouldn't mind being part of an arbitrating panel. And I got a test, which I approved, and then I took a seminar, which I approved, and I got my first case, so to speak. And what they did at those times, they would send somebody from the New York Stock Exchange. He did not participate, but he was watching you. He was taking notes. And he would always come down, and upon his evaluation of what you did, you were either given additional cases or they would write you off the list.
You're right.
So while I was doing my radio business, I would take one or two cases a year.
Okay, okay. So you transition slowly into that.
Yes, okay. And each case takes 3, 4, 5 days. So I would take 3, 4 days off my regular schedule, do a case, and then have another one 6, 7, 8 months after that. After I retired, my wife hates for me to be at home all the time nagging. She bought a sign that says, my husband just retired, please help me, or something like that. So she welcomes all the arbitration cases I can get.
the you know, and some of your background, for example, the last job in the radio was moderating and organizing and helping develop more listeners for a classical radio station. And
oh, that was consulting. That was after I retired too. Yes, yes. That was at WIPR, at the government station. What happened there? See, we sold the last radio station, and I was ready to sit home. And this lady that had worked with me, she was working at WIPR, and she said, look, we have a problem. We're about to lose $400,000 in funds from the Corporation for Broadcasting, which is for public radio, because we do not have the minimum we need to have to comply with this.
Right.
Can you give us a hand? I say, in what way? Can you do some consulting for us and tell us how to improve ratings? I asked her, she had worked with me, why do you think I'm qualified? She says, well, you like classical music, you know radio, you know programming, and you speak English. And I don't know anybody else who can do it either. So I did that for about 3 years. We increased tremendously our ratings, and we saved the $400,000. And the basic aspect that I remember was, in those many years in radio, there had been three radio stations in the past that had had light classics, light classical music. And one was Radio San Juan, another one was Radio Aeropuerto, and then another one was Sonorama. Sonorama had a Broadway show music, some zarzuela, some what they call elevator music, you know, instrumentals. Right. And they left an open area which nobody took over. And I felt that the classical music format at WIPR was very close to that, and that had a place in it. Nobody was doing it. So we made this up-tempo afternoon program with a lot of Strauss waltzes, zarzuela music, Broadway musicals like South Pacific, Oklahoma, My Fair Lady, that type of music,
right,
instrumentals,
right.
Pavarotti and all those other singing Napolitan songs, you know, from the South.
Mario Lanza.
Mario Lanza,
uh-huh. Sure.
And that gelled, that became a part of the WIPR format in those years. I'm talking now between 2001, 2002, 2004.
Yeah, that's I mean, one of the incredible coincidence, because that's one, classical music is one of my loves. And of course I listen to the classical music stations. It's fantastic.
And in that consulting, when the announcer did not show up, which in the government station is quite often, I would pitch in for him.
And you'd be the
I had never been on the microphone before. So, well, yeah, I would do that, yes.
Well, we have to take a break now. I am with Reynaldo Arroyo of, career now as an arbitrator, but great experience in the radio industry. We'll be right back after this break.